Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Deuteronomy with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting in verse 22, where we see that if you're enduring persecution today, or maybe the hardships of life, or even if everything's going great at the moment, whatever state you find yourself in, run the race the Lord has called you to, and run it to win. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22.
One father is more than 100 schoolmasters, end quote. Fathers and mothers, teach your children diligently. Whet your sword, sharpen your sword, pierce them in the depths of their soul. When they hear in school that they evolved and they're just a little higher than monkeys, may they know in their heads, no, I'm just a little lower than angels. I was created in the image of my God. I have a purpose. I'm on this earth to affect this world for Jesus Christ. Let it already be settled in their hearts. That's our job. Listen, if you don't shape your children, the world will, and it will do it quickly. Satan, the god of this world, has all sorts of avenues and venues and resources at his disposal to get your children. I think, number one, music. Music, lyrics, songwriting. It's so catchy, these songs that are on the radio here. If you're not careful and you hear it in a public place, you'll find yourself humming it. In fact, recently, I've heard that song. I think it was at the mall. I'm happy, happy, happy. That song, you know what I'm talking about? How do you know? No, I'm just kidding. And I was singing it the other day. So I forgot about it, and this morning I'm getting dressed for work, and I'm coming down the stairs, and I hear Olivia sing. I say, Olivia, how do you know that song? She said, I heard you singing in the car the other day. And so children, the song, the jingle, there's something catchy to it. Satan knows he's the god of the airwaves. He's the god of this world. Be careful what you're allowing your children to hear, what you're allowing them to see, the movies, the video games that you allow, the kids they hang out with, the homes that they spend the night at. Be careful of these things. Well, folks will call me a legalist. Folks will call me a prude. Who cares? Do you want your kid to go to heaven or do you want your kid to go to hell? What's more important to you? Mom, dad, teach your children diligently. Children, youth, young people, go read Proverbs 4. God has given you your parents to be a source of wisdom in your life. As they teach you diligently, heed to their warnings, heed to their exhortations. God has given them to you to protect you. From who? Yourself. Teach these things diligently to your children. Talk about them when you wake, by the way, and when you go to sleep and when you rise up. Listen, breakfast, talk about Jesus. Just talk about Jesus. I missed this summer break already of Olivia being off from school, my oldest. Every morning I drove her to school, and every morning I'd put on Caleb, simply not because I like it, you know that, but because she likes the music, the worship, and I know it. So if God's word can get into her little mind through songs, and I'm going to play it, even though other teachings are on 99.7 that I'd much rather listen to. I know that she's not going to listen to, so I'll put music on. Then halfway there, every single day for this past school year, I would fade the music out and then just start talking about Jesus, and I'd pray over her in Jesus' name every day before we get out of the car. When you wake up, then when I'd walk out of her school, as I'd walk her in, I'd walk to my car, and I'd ask the Lord every day, Lord, make your face shine upon her. Make your presence known in her life. Lord, help her to know you, to choose rightly before you. Pray for them. Talk to them when they wake up. My kids won't go to sleep at night unless Sean or I prays with them. We have to pray with them. Because why? Because it's a custom that they're used to now, to pray before, when they go to bed, when they lay down at night. Let them pray. Olivia made a prayer list that she has taped to the ceiling. She's in the top bunk. And she wants to pray. She's got a prayer for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And she recycles prayers. She takes them out. She puts new ones in. She makes new lists all the time. She prays better than some adults do. She has a real prayer life. I'm not trying to boast about my kids. I can't use other people and their kids as examples. I don't know what you do. I'm sure many of you do these things. But I'm just trying to show you the importance of making Jesus 24/7 in your home. Because so many times we think, man, I blew it today. I swore when I dropped the hammer on my foot. Most people do. I yelled at my wife. Most people do. I beat my horn in traffic. We're just sinners. And we think, man, I can't do this thing. And we lose meaning of what it is to be a Christian mom and dad. And we get works-oriented in our raising our children. I haven't had devotions with the kids on Saturday. The week is so busy. And we get so ripped off. But God is reminding us tonight, don't be a legalist in your approach. Just make Jesus a reality to them. Make him practical to them. And that's doing your job wonderfully. Everybody with me? When you go to bed, when you wake up, when you rise, talk about Jesus. And you shall bind them, verse 8, for a sign upon your hand. This is God's word. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Now, the Jews literally embrace this. They wear boxes and leather straps. They take these things and they put them on their hands and their arms and their forehead. If you go to Israel with us next March, when we go to the Wailing Wall, you'll see these Orthodox Jews praying towards this wall with these box, these things on their forehead, on their arms, with scriptures within them. They've taken what God says here in Deuteronomy 6:8 literally. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Jesus, when given opportunity, doesn't rebuke that. I'm not dissing that tonight. But I think what God is really saying here is what you put your hands to, what you put your actions to, let God's word govern. Let God's word dictate what you put before your eyes, what you allow to go into your eyes, which goes into your brain, which begins to be something that you think upon. Let God's word govern and dictate, you see. That's what this is speaking of, a life of consistency with Jesus, esteeming his word above every single thing else, even other Christians, even pastors who say this is right and this is wrong. What does God's word say? Do you know what God's word says? Do you even have that type of mentality? When an issue is brought before you, is your first train of thinking, hey, let me go see what God's word says, or let me go seek counsel from a brother or sister? Go to God's word. God's word is all that you need, Peter said, to live a life of godliness. Basic instructions before leaving earth, right? Bible. That's what it is. Everything you need is in God's word. I'm not saying we should worship the Bible. I'm not saying it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Bible. But it certainly, I believe, doesn't just contain the word of God. It is God's very word. It's what you need. And you shall write them upon the post, verse 9, of your house and on thy gates. Speaking here of a mezuzah, they'd put a scroll of scripture on their doorpost. So that, again, when you go in to the world, the last thing that you see is God's word. You're going into a fallen world that's antagonistic, that's opposite toward the things that God's word proclaims. You're going in, you're going out. Let it be governed by God's word. Let there be scripture verses all throughout your house. Man, I can still remember to this day plaques and scripture verses that my parents had. I remember above my mom's kitchen sink in the home I grew up in, there was a plaque in wood, dark wood, that said, Jesus is Lord. Awesome. Great for your kids to see. The sink, the kitchen, where I frequented often. Right there, right by the fridge. Jesus is Lord. I didn't have to wonder, who's God, who's Lord? Jesus is. Right across from the throne, in the bathroom, I would see this plaque, 1 Corinthians 13. What is love? All the description. I saw that plaque thousands of times. Every time I went to the bathroom, my parents put it right there, right in our face. Boom, 1 Corinthians 13, what love is. Because if you have not love, you have nothing, Paul said. Very important. We had Joshua 24:15 in our home. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. One verse that I memorized at an early age that I saw often, I actually have it tattooed on me, my rear end, was the verse that was on the rod. Proverbs 22, verse 15. The rod, right? It speaks of the rod and the correction of a parent who loves their children. These are things that were all around me. It was a part of my life. God says his word should be all over your house. It's a good thing to do to put plaques up in scriptures all over your house that your children would just have his word going in them day in and day out as they learn to read. that your home would be a sanctuary where God's presence is and where his word is declared. Just wonderful truths here as we look at these things. You shall write them upon the posts of your house and on thy gates, and it shall be, verse 10, getting close here, guys, hang in there. It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities. Look at this, please. Which you didn't build. God's going to give you things. What does James say? What have you received that God has not given to you? You have not received anything that God has not given to you. And this is where we're going to end in a moment. There's a few verses that go with this theme, and then we'll pause and save the rest of the chapter for next week. But there's a theme here that God's going to sow in tonight's conclusion of our Bible study. Because in case you got haughty tonight, in case God's blessing you, you've been walking with Jesus, you're sort of prospering, you're just finding favor upon your life, God's going to remind you tonight, hey, what do you have that you didn't receive from God? Don't forget your origins. Don't forget your roots. Don't forget what Jesus has done for you. Look what he says here in verse 11. In houses full of good things, you didn't fill these things. He says, in houses full of things which you did not fill. Verse 11, and wells digged which you didn't dig. Look at this. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you shall be eaten and full. And beware, God says. Listen, God doesn't just put beware in his word because he's worried about something. He puts beware in his word because he knows our tendencies. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that tonight, June 18, 2014, on a Wednesday evening, on a summer night, you chose to be here instead of elsewhere, that you needed to hear this exhortation. Hey, be careful, son or daughter. Beware, heads up, lest you forget the Lord. Beware that you don't come to such a place where your house is full, where your job is being blessed, where the money's coming in, where the bills are being paid, where the children are healthy, where life is going good and wonderful. Be careful, God says. Don't forget where all these things came from. That which you have received, nothing have you given to yourself. It's all come from the gracious hand of God. Beware lest you forget God. Forget God where? Down in the dumps? No, on the mountaintop in a place of prosperity. That's the most dangerous place for you and I to be. So therefore, God says, be careful. Are you being blessed tonight? Are things going well tonight? God says, be careful. Beware lest you forget the Lord. Listen, forget doesn't mean, wait, what did we used to do at church on Wednesdays? What was that book called again that we used to read? It doesn't mean that you literally lost it in the sense of you can't remember. It means to mislay. It means to set aside. God says to you tonight, church, heads up. Lest you set aside the Lord. Why do you set something aside? To make room for something else. Hey, be careful, son or daughter, of setting God aside in your life so that you can make room for something or someone else when he is the one who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and you shall swear by his name. You shall go not after other gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Let's finish. Verse 16, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. Remember when they said there's no water? But rather you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies, his statutes, which he has commanded thee. And you shall do, verse 18, that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. It doesn't matter who else says it's good. What does God say? That it might be well with thee, if you're looking for reasons, that it might go well with thee in the land which you possess, that the Lord has sworn to your fathers, to cast out, verse 19, all enemies from before thee, as the Lord has spoken. And when your son asks thee in time to come, and my goodness, do our sons and our daughters ask us things over and over and over and over and over again. Isn't it true? God says, when your kids ask you in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out. Look at this. I always say it to you. He brought us out that he might bring us in. Same story for you tonight. It's your God story. He brought you out from your Egypt that he might bring you into your Canaan, which is the Spirit-filled life, to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. You got to underline that. You shouldn't check out yet. Your Bible shouldn't be closed yet. Study isn't over. It's for your good always. Wonderful truth there. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 39 says the same thing. God's intentions, his mind for you is always for your good. Awesome stuff, man. That he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness. Notice, it's contingent upon if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Guys, don't forget the context of those closing verses. God says, that's what you tell your kids when they ask you why you believe what you believe. Why are you going to church, Dad? Why are you going to church, Mom, on a Wednesday night? It's 80 degrees out. It stays light out till 9 o'clock. Let's play ball. Let's take a swim. Let's do, you know, let's do yard work. What kid would ever say that? Never mind. That's a bad example. Let's watch a TV show. Let's go out to dinner. Let's go get ice cream at Lugia's. Let's go to Abbott's. Let's go for a walk by the canal. Let's go fishing. Let's shoot hoops. No, son. No, daughter. We're going to church tonight. We're going to learn about Jesus tonight. Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me. He delivered me from my Egypt, the world. He delivered me from my Pharaoh, Satan, and he set my feet upon a rock. He gave me purpose. He gave me reason. He gave me an ability to live for him and to proclaim him until the day I die. I'm going to do it. Your mom's going to do it. I'm going to do it. Your dad's going to do it, and you're going to do it too until you move out of this house, because as for me in this house, we will serve the Lord. That's how it needs to go. You tell your kids why you believe what you believe. You tell your kids the answers to their questions. Listen, God put that curiosity within them. As annoying as it seems so many times, as aggravating as it can get, as much as you just want to say, shut up. God says to you, Mom and Dad, answer them. Answer them over and over and over again. If you won't answer them, somebody else will. If you won't tell them why you do what you do and why you believe what you believe, somebody else will tell them what they should do and what they should believe. Take a stand for Jesus Christ. Be an example of Jesus Christ. Live for Jesus Christ. Show Jesus Christ to everyone who is around you. I've said it and I'll say it till the day I go down. Listen, more is caught than taught. Tonight, I was in my office with Pastor Larry drinking a cup of coffee, waiting for the rest of the guys to come for prayer for you as you're making your way to church. And my son came. I haven't seen him all day. I haven't been home since this morning. And he comes running in my office, and he comes and he sees me. He gives me a hug. He gives me a kiss. And then he does what he always does after he greets me. He goes to my little conference table where there's M&Ms, climbs on top of the table, and starts eating M&Ms. Moments later, I continue to tell Larry my story, losing sight of Charlo, used to his custom. I put my feet up back on my desk, and I continue to sip my coffee. I look over at my son, and he is watching me intently, sitting in the chair with his feet up on the conference table, popping M&Ms in his mouth. More is caught than taught. I didn't say, hey, Char, watch this. Hey, Cece, look at what I'm doing. Do the same thing. But rather, he watched, he saw, he mimicked, he copied. And so will your kids do. How important is Jesus to you? Because by large, with great truth, as important as Jesus is to you is as important Jesus will be to your children. There's a lady here tonight, I'm not going to mention her name, whose son emailed me this morning, thank him. He doesn't go here, but he's been visiting on Sundays. He goes to another solid church, and he was thanking me today. And I know his mom, and his mom is solid. His mom loves Jesus. His mom loves the word of Jesus. And I know that from conversing with her. And this kid wrote me an email. He's not a kid. He's my age. He wrote me an email just full of scripture, just good truths, good doctrines. Man, I can tell that his mom is who she is in church at home, that she raised him in the faith. This guy is just like his mom in a male form, and that's encouraging. That your children, by large, most times will follow after the example that you lead. Let it be the most important thing, right? As John said, there is no greater joy than this, that my children will walk in the truth. I don't care about being a millionaire. It ain't going to happen. I'm a pastor. I don't care about driving a sports car. I don't care about having a lake house. I don't care about being famous. I don't care about doing crusades. I don't care about blowing out these walls and building phase two of this church if with me, my children don't follow Jesus. And I mean it. I mean it. Worship team, would you come? Keep the word of God. Do the word of God. Esteem the word of God above everything else. Wherever you find yourself tonight, beloved, whoever you are, whatever you got going in your life, look to the God's word for your counsel, for your direction, and magnify it above all else. Amen. Let's stand. Let's give Jesus a round of applause. I'm for it. And let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for this sanctuary that we can come to not once, not twice, not three times, but more than that, Lord, every single week to sing praises to your name, to lift our voices to you, to clap to you, to exalt you, to see you high and lifted up, that we can gather in this big family room and we can open your word and we can just see what it is that you have to say to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us all that we need, Lord, to be directed, to live a life of godliness. Now we ask, Lord, as we ready ourselves to close this service, at least the formality of it, we ask you, Jesus, that you would pour out your spirit upon us to enable us, Lord, to now be doers of what we just received, to now carry out what was just put in within us. God, we need you to help us to will to do of your good pleasure. So Jesus, we ask you now, please fill us afresh with your spirit. I pray for all the moms and the dads that are here tonight, raising children, raising teenagers, raising adult children, that you would help us, Lord, to be a good example, to be good teachers, diligent teachers to them of your word and of your ways. Lord, we need you. We need you so greatly. And we come to you now just to lift our voices one last time to sing to you a song of praise because we're grateful that as we need you, you give yourself to us abundantly. So for that, we worship you. For that, we exalt you in this place. And it's in Jesus' name, the name of Jesus, that we love to say and sing. All God's people said, amen.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com. to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.